This is the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, Richard James Rogers, high school science and chemistry teacher and author of the award-winning book, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode on the Practical Teaching Tips Podcast. I am your host, as always, Richard James Rogers. And today, I hope that my topic will be very interesting and very, very useful for everyone listening to this episode today, because I'm talking about retrieval practice. Now, this is a phrase that for the past 5 years and even more than that has been bandied about in teacher seminars, professional development workshops, and at departmental meetings and whole school meetings and inset days and teacher training days at schools all around the world. And it is my observation that a lot of educators think they know what retrieval practice is, but aren't 100% sure. And the aim of today's podcast episode is for me to really describe retrieval practice in simple terms, because unfortunately, there's a lot of literature out there that complexifies what is actually a very simple concept. And as well as that, I'm going to provide everyone listening to this with a framework called the POWER framework. I'm quite proud of it, actually. It's quite a good acronym, which is a useful way for us all to remember how to use retrieval practice in our classrooms and the steps to follow. Now, why am I making a podcast episode about this topic anyway? Why is this topic so important? Well, it's gotten a lot of educators very excited because it is a heavily evidence-based approach that has been shown to have massive effectiveness in terms of raising student attainment. It also, as a process, retrieval practice includes a lot of metacognitive strategies. And I've made a separate podcast episode about metacognition in the past. And of course, metacognitive strategies encourage children and students to think about thinking, to reflect upon how they are learning. And retrieval practice includes processes in which students are reflecting and reviewing their understanding. So I'm going to be going through today a framework we can all use, and I'm also going to describe some ideas for you on techniques we can use, some practical techniques we can use to facilitate good retrieval practice in the classroom. Now, I have also, for your information, I have also written a blog post which accompanies this podcast episode over at richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's richardjamesrogers.com. So head over there if you want a written summary of this podcast episode, which you can print or share or distribute with teachers at your school, with your friends, that you can use in any kind of teacher training session or meeting you might have. So let's start. What is retrieval practice all about if we're talking about first principles? Well, we've got to think of expression as opposed to ingestion. Expression as opposed to ingestion. Now, I was very impressed by a video I recently watched by Unleash Learning. Now, for those who don't know, Unleash Learning are basically the authority on retrieval practice. And what the video said was that retrieval practice is all about, listen to this now, getting information out of students' heads rather than into students' heads. And guess what? This is true. It's very true. Retrieval practice is used to follow up on a topic or follow up on concepts, follow up on knowledge when students have already been taught the information they need to know. And it's a great way of cementing understanding, of building long-term memory. And that, of course, really is the aim of education itself, isn't it? To create long-term memory of useful concepts, skills, and knowledge. And retrieval practice has been shown to be extremely effective at doing that. So how can we go about facilitating retrieval practice in the classroom? Well, we can use something called the POWER strategy, and that is POWER. Give your students the power they need to succeed. Now, what does this easy to remember step-by-step process of POWER, POWER, actually stand for? Well, P stands for prime, O stands for organize, you'll love this next one, W stands for wrestle. Yes, I finally created a teaching acronym that has wrestle, as in WrestleMania, Hulk Hogan, in it. So we're going to have some giggles at teacher training workshops from this point onwards all over the world, I'm sure. E stands for evaluate, and R stands for reinforce. So once again, everybody, the five stages of retrieval practice using the POWER methodology is prime, organize, wrestle, evaluate, and reinforce. One more time. Prime, organize, wrestle, evaluate, and reinforce. Now, what on earth do these stages mean? Well, I'm going to go through them now. Stage one is prime. Prime the mind. What does that mean? Well, it means review essential concepts, key points, or summaries to prepare your students for the learning experience ahead. At this stage, the summaries do not need to be organized. They can be scattered and random, and do not necessarily even need to be handwritten. A group discussion, a quick verbal presentation, a bulleted list, a mind map that is disorganized or even organized is perfectly fine. But that's what we're starting with. We're starting with a quick summary, asking the students to create a quick summary of what they know already. You might even ask the students to put up their hand and tell you something they remember about a particular topic, and you write that on your smart board, and that will give you a nice spread of ideas that the students have come up with initially. The next stage is O. So we've done P, next is O. O is for organize. So now we are organizing. Organize thoughts actively. So in this stage, we are encouraging the active organization of thoughts. Have your students organize information in their own words. Very important. Creating meaningful connections and enhancing comprehension through an engaged approach. Now, there are many tools that can be used for this, but my favorites are mnemonics, acronyms, infographics, brilliant they are, and of course students can use Canva, Google Slides, very good for creating infographics. Graphic organizers are excellent. Google Slides, I've mentioned, Google Docs, Google Sheets, Google Sites are all very good for creating these organized summaries, flowcharts, and of course, as a podcaster, my very favorite, audio notes, very underutilized in education, I have to say, audio notes. It's quite important at this stage that information follows the required pattern in which it needs to be retrieved in the final exams. So, for example, the stages of cell division in order, the timeline of King Henry VIII's reign in order, the points to raise in a written response to a language question in order. The students are producing some kind of creative output that delineates the knowledge in the order in which it needs to be retrieved in the exam, okay? So we've done P, that was prime. We did O, that was organize. Now next is my favorite of the five, wrestle. That's W-R-E-S-T-L-E, as in WrestleMania. Wrestle with challenges. Now what on earth does this mean? Well, it means that in this stage, the students should tackle thought-provoking questions that demand active recall. This step engages the mind in a mental wrestling match, strengthening memory and reinforcing the learning process, of course. Now, this is going to involve the teacher providing questions to the students, for the students. The questions do not necessarily need to be provided in a mini test or a handout format, although you can go with that too if you want to. But live quiz apps such as Blockit, Kahoot, Rolljack, Quizlet Live, Quizzes, Ice Spring Quiz Maker, and so on can be very good for this. Verbal questioning, very good for this. Exam style questions, past papers, flashcards, quick writing exercises, worksheets, and another favorite of mine, learning journals, can all be used as tools to facilitate this process of wrestling with the challenge of completing questions. Now, the questions should be low stakes, shouldn't be something that you're recording on a spreadsheet so that you can rank your students. No, they should be low stakes so that making mistakes is encouraged, and there's discussion involved as well. So we've done P, prime, O, organize, W, wrestle with challenges. Next is E, evaluate. Evaluate understanding. Now, how do we do this? We promote self-evaluation to gauge understanding. As teachers, we have to guide our students to reflect on their comprehension. And this will help them and us as teachers identify areas of strength and pinpoint topics that may require additional attention. Now, a great technique that teachers have been using for decades for this is traffic lights. Now, what's traffic lights? Provide students with red, yellow, and green cards and ask them to hold up the corresponding card to indicate their understanding. Of course, red means unclear, I don't understand. Yellow means partial, I kind of understand. And green is for solid comprehension, I completely understand. It's a very quick and visual way to evaluate understanding. But that's a legacy technique. There's so many other techniques we can use these days. Again, live quiz apps can be used, self-reflection rubrics. Metacognitive tools are very good for this, such as self-regulation checklists as well. Again, check out the blog post that comes with this podcast episode. The link is in the show notes, because in that blog post, there's lots of links in there to the kind of metacognitive strategies you can use and reflection rubrics and all the points I'm raising. Now, in my current practice, the way that I do this evaluation stage is I like to create Google Sheets for the students, and the students can just type in their reflections as they do them along the way at their own pace. And what this does is it creates a long-term digital journal or record for the students where they have their reflections in one place. It's a record of their progress, The sheets that I create are very simple. They ask questions such as what questions the students got wrong, why they got those questions wrong, and what they should do next in their learning journey to improve further. And the students usually come up with some really, really good answers that have been thought out. I will look at this section in this textbook. I will make flashcards on this topic. I will look up past paper questions from this paper on this topic, and so on. So you might need to guide the students in that process of articulating what they will do next, but nevertheless, they should be encouraged to fully reflect on their learning journey. If you use Google Classroom and you want to go with the Google Sheets I've just said, it's very easy. You create an assignment, create a Google Sheet within the assignment, set it out, create a little template, three questions. Which questions did you get wrong? Which topic areas were your weakest? Or you could say, why did you get them wrong? What were the mistakes you made? What are you going to do next to improve further? Once you've created that template, you just click on the drop-down menu where it says make a copy for each student, and every student will have their own copy of that template, and it's private to that student as well. So only the student and the teacher can see it. So far we've done P-O-W-E. Remember, P is prime and O is organize. E is evaluate. I've missed one, haven't I? Sorry. P is prime. O is organize. W is wrestle. Can't believe I forgot that one. Wrestle with challenges. E is evaluate understanding. So the last one is R, reinforce. Reinforce through practice. Now, how do we do this? Well, we must transition to reinforcement through doing regular practice. Practice makes perfect. Engage your students in hands-on activities. Now, that could be additional past paper questions. It could be problem-solving scenarios, experiments. It could be real-world applications such as design thinking. Check out a previous podcast episode on that. It could be the students creating a model. It could even be a really interesting activity called Escape Room Extravaganza. Now, if you are brave enough to try this, and I suggest you might want to try it, the way it works is you create a virtual or physical escape room with challenges related to the lesson. Students work in teams to solve problems, unlock clues, and apply their knowledge to move to the next stage. A QR code treasure hunt is very good for this, everybody. And these strategies of reinforcement through practice are fantastic ways to get students collaborating, thinking critically, and applying their knowledge, which of course builds long-term memory, which is the whole purpose of retrieval practice anyway, to improve understanding and to build long-term memory. So, to summarize, everybody, POWER, remember POWER. I'm so proud of this acronym. Maybe I'll be on the cover of Forbes Education Global Premium, if that exists one day. So, P is for prime the mind. O is for organize thoughts actively. W is for wrestle with challenges. E is for evaluate understanding. R is for reinforce through practice. Now, to conclude, everybody, retrieval practice is essentially, as I've mentioned, a way to build long-term memory of concepts, skills, ideas, key vocabulary, techniques, and knowledge. So lots of things. At some point after a topic or unit has been taught to your class, use the POWER, P-O-W-E-R, strategy to get your students retrieving that prior knowledge, you'll soon find that concepts will be generally better understood, performance in future assessments will increase, and students will feel more confident articulating, processing, and recalling the material they have covered. Now, if you want some further reading, again, look at the show notes in this podcast episode, everyone. You'll find a blog post I've written which covers everything I've just described. Please share that with colleagues. Share it far and wide. Let's get proper retrieval practice embedded in our schools, everybody, because this is powerful, hence the acronym POWER. Again, very proud of that. But it's powerful, it's effective, and I do believe it's my observation that many educators don't fully understand what retrieval practice is. So let's share this message. It's going to help our students, everyone. Now, recommended further reading, as well as that blog post, head over to retrievalpractice.org. Retrievalpractice.org. Now, why is that so good? It's basically the homepage of Retrieval Practice. You'll find lots of free downloadable PDFs there. And those PDFs contain loads of advice in much more detail than I've gone into today on how to implement retrieval practice in your lessons. There's lots of whole school holistic advice there as well on that website. So I do hope that was useful, everyone, and I hope that that was also a little bit entertaining along the way. If you have a topic request, please feel free to email me at any time at info@richardjamesrogers.com. Once again, that's info@richardjamesrogers.com. And why not check out my award-winning, best-selling book for teachers, The Quick Guide to Classroom Management, 45 Secrets That All High School Teachers Need to Know. That book is available at Barnes & Noble, Amazon, of course, Blackwell's, Walmart, Books Depository, Abe Books, and at every good retailer all around the world. So check that out, everybody. The link to that book's Amazon page is in the show notes of this episode. And your purchase of that book, which I'm very grateful for, helps to support all of the content creation that I do. Well, thank you, everybody. Until next time, bye-bye for now.